Yeah, it's my second cafe, we all got that mindset. Gotta stay focused, never settle for less. It's all in your head, how you think you manifest? So get ready to rise, cause we about to be the best. Gotta switch it up, gotta break the old habits. Get your mind right, turn your dreams into habits. No negative vibes, only positive thoughts.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Mindset Cafe podcast. It's your boy, Devin, as always, and we got our boy, Nick, with us today. A little bit different episode today. We're doing it separate locations since, you know, the gym is in full effect. So it's a little bit different style, but, you know, same feed. And actually, I think this actually records a little bit better. So, you know, it's not like a weird split screen. So that's kind of cool. But today's topic, you know, we're going to be talking about counting macros. What are macros? As well as, I know with, you know, a lot of fitness, you know, journeys, it's hard because you start to go through it and your family doesn't always align with it. So we're going to talk, you know, about how to get your family on board with you and make sure that your, you know, journey is as easy as possible. So with that being said, and if you guys missed our little intro video, you know, for those that are hopping on now, we got a little anthem, but you guys will hear it on the podcast if you guys missed it this time. But so the first topic, you know, what are macros and why are they important to our health and fitness goals? Nick, do you want to start off with just what macros are? And then, you know, I can kind of touch up off of that.
Sure. So macros are the main breakdown of your three components of where or pretty much our body gets your sources of energy and what we break down to pretty much do what we do. But the three main components of your of our macros are proteins, carbs, and fats. Now, when it comes to like when people say like, "Oh, are you are you counting macros, or are you more so on like just looking into your calories?" It's a little bit more important, in at least you know, in our perspective, to count macro wise, because it's not so. When people say, you know, I'm trying to stay within like that. Just an example: 1400, 1600, 1800 calorie range on a daily basis. The big question is what is consisting of those total calories. So that's when your macros come into a big play, because those counting your macros will tell you in detail how much protein your body is getting, how much carbs and fats your body is getting on like pretty much on a broken down scale. So you know exactly how much of each one that your body's able to break down and pretty much intaking on a daily basis.
No, yeah, definitely. So yeah, so I mean, I think the important thing that people get confused with macros and with calories is that they start to be like, yeah, I'm counting my calories, right? And when they're talking about counting their calories, it's like, okay, that's awesome. You know, you're doing the first step, but macros are what make up the calories, right? So 1 gram of protein is 4 calories. 1 gram of, you know, carbs is 4 calories. 1 gram of fat is 4 calories, or 9 calories, sorry. And with that, it's like, okay, so when you're eating, let's say 2,000 calories, it's like, okay, but of what, right? Like, what is that, you know, 2,000 calories consist of, right? That's like saying, I work out. It's like, okay, well, shit, what do you do for your workouts?
You know, like, do you lift, bro?
Do you Zumba? Like, they're all different, right? So that's basically the difference between counting calories and counting macros, right? It's going into depth of what are the ingredients in your actual nutrition versus just, you know, the generic overview of what you're currently doing. Now, the importance of that is your, like I said, it's the ingredients, right? So it's the fuel for your journey. So if you don't have the right macros, including basic carbs, fats, proteins, even fiber, which isn't technically a macro, but it kind of falls into that category a little bit. At least we make it, you know, fall into that category. But if you don't know what you're putting into your body necessarily, how can you expect your body to run on basically optimum levels, right? So with that being said, you know, is there anything else, like, you know, just kind of generically, like, you know, why it's important to know your macros, you know?
Yes. So, and like, also, like, kind of, like, to tie it in with, like, with the main, you know, topic that was brought up was why it was important, why it's important.
Real quick. Try to do it without your headphones.
Do it without my headphones?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm looking down, because like I'm trying to look at my phone and like see if I can.
Sorry, technical difficulties, guys. Hold your horses. Austin says, best way to start learning how to do this and what's the best for your time. We'll definitely get into that. You know, Austin, we're gonna touch into how to start learning about your macros and, you know, what's the best for you and how to figure that out. And a few different ways to figure that stuff out. We're going to definitely touch into that today. So definitely stay tuned. Awesome. That we're definitely going to hop into that for sure.
You hear me now?
Oh yeah. Much better.
That's better. All right, cool.
What were you saying?
Oh, my bad. Oops.
You're good.
Wait, hold on. How do I go back?
Tell Nicole that, you'll call her later.
No, it was on the gym phone. Anyway, going off of like what you had, like my, and what I wanted to kind of tie in as well was in regards to like what the main topic was, what the main question of the topic was, which was why it's important, aside from how to count your macros based on your fitness goals, as to why it's important. Because if you don't know specifically what macros you're having, it's going to be hard for you to gauge and make that proper progress towards pretty much your goal. So if what I mean by that is, what is your current goal? Are you trying to cut? Are you trying to lose some weight? Are you trying to, you know, build some muscle? Are you trying to lean bulk a little bit? And when we're trying to like work towards those goals, it's going to be way harder if you don't know specifically what your macro breakdown is of what, like Devin said, what those total calories what makes up those total calories. So if you're not like, if you don't know how much, which is kind of like what we encounter here at the gym pretty much 9 out of 10 times when, you know, when we talk to anybody, the members or anybody that just needs help when it comes to their nutrition, the first question is, are you getting enough protein? Also on top of like, do you know what you're eating on a daily and consistent basis? Because if it goes for both as well. Like if you're trying to cut and burn body fat and build muscle, your protein is like the most important thing for us to concentrate on. Cause if you're not getting enough, you're going to be, as you're in a deficit or as you're doing your nutritional program, you're going to start to lose muscle. Your body's going to start eating away at it instead of you holding on and building onto it. So that's just like one main thing why it's like super important for us to like know what we're having like macro wise.
No, definitely. And so let's go into, you know, the different macros, right? So we briefly talked about, you know, protein, carbs, fats, you know, and understanding, you know, that they're important, but what is their actual roles, right? So with protein, like you were saying, it's the building block of muscle. And so the first thing that we usually do with people is we have them see if they're, you know, eating enough protein. We track that first, right? Because that's usually the hardest one to do. And I say that because it's easy to get your carbs and your fats in, like, you know, fruits, veggies, you know, bread, like all those things, all the things you probably are eating right now are probably based in carbs and fats. So your protein is usually the one that people are slacking in. So that's what we tend to focus on first. And now knowing how much protein you should have, that's where it gets tricky for a lot of people, right? Because people are like, well, I can't eat that much chicken or that much steak or that much fish. It's like, okay, yeah, but other things have protein in it as well, right? So that's why like, tracking your macros and tracking the foods that you're eating can definitely help with that. Because like, let's say if you have cheese or if you have milk or you even have, let's say, almonds, like all those things have protein in them. They have other macros as well, but they have some grams of protein, right? So it's not just the main part of your plate, which is, you know, let's say your meats or, you know, whatever you're eating, that's not just your protein. You're getting protein from other sources as well. But if you can't eat enough protein, then that's when we start to introduce supplements, right? So it's not, supplements aren't like a necessity, but the word is supplement, right? So if you can't eat it, then you supplement that nutrition with the supplement, you know, powder or snack or whatever it is. Now, the the goal for your protein is basically whatever your ideal body weight is usually a rough start you can start with. And it's basically you times that by 0.8 or up to 1.2, depending on if you're trying to, you know, get a little bit bigger or if you're trying to lean down. But if you're able to do like an in-body or, you know, a body composition scan and you can see what your lean body mass is, then you want to try to basically multiply that by 1.2, right? So that's the start of, you know, what we really want to focus on and make sure you're getting enough protein in. And at very bare minimum, I would say that you need at least 100 grams of protein, right? And that's usually for what we recommend for females or for people that haven't been, you know, eating enough protein. It's like, okay, let's get to 100 and then let's slowly start incrementing it from there, right?
The importance of it as well is like, I think people underestimate like how much, like, you know, a volume is like the amount of protein that they're supposed to be having in a day is, you know? So yeah. Like when we tell like the members and clients, like, you know, especially if they're on a challenge, like, oh, okay, like you're supposed to be eating or consuming on a daily basis, like, let's just say 130, 140 grams of protein, even for guys, even for like, you know, the guys in here, they're like, oh yeah, protein, I could get that. And then you tell them they got to eat like 170, 180 grams of protein, and they start to try to eat and consume all that food. They're like, damn, it's a lot of food. It's very heavy and it fills you up.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's crazy is like when we go into the macros and we talk about, you know, what kind of foods and stuff are for each, it's when you start eating healthier and you start actually tracking your macros, the healthier foods, you're going to have to eat more of them. Right. And that's why you start to get fuller and you start to feel like it's too much food. But it's not too much food. It's just that basically junk food or fast food, it's so calorically dense and it has so many calories in such a small size that you necessarily don't feel full. So you overeat, which means you're, you know, going in a surplus of calories, was, and that's why you gain weight. So when you start actually eating,
you're just holding on to all that excess.
Exactly.
In reality, you're not actually that satiated.
Exactly. And that goes into, you know, carbs and fats, you know. People think that carbs are bad or fats are bad, and neither of them are bad, right? Each one has its role, right? Carbs are an energy source. Fats are an energy source. Proteins are not an energy source, right? Carbs and fats aren't meant for building muscle, right? They don't build muscle. That's what protein is for, right? So you can't not eat protein and just eat 2,000 calories in carbs and think that you're going to start gaining muscle. You're not having the macro that actually rebuilds and repairs, you know, and causes that muscle growth. So with your carbs and your fats, the misconception of, you know, carbs are bad or fats are bad and, you know, doing one or the other, they both have their role. Carbs are short-term energy sources and fats are long-term energy sources, right? So when you're eating a carb, so usually when someone's going to start working out for the first time, I tell them, you know, we'll try to get a little bit of, you know, some carbs in before your first workout, you know, have a banana, have an apple, you know, 30, 45 minutes before. And that's because that energy source is only going to last you 30 minutes to an hour, right? The first 20, 30 minutes it's going to be digesting. The next, you know, 20, 30 minutes, it's going to be there for you to actually use as energy. And then for fats, it's basically anything after that. So usually when you start to hit the 30 minute mark and onward, that's when the fat molecules are actually being, you know, utilized. And knowing that they both have their role, it's like you should try to have a balanced, you know, diet in having a little bit of both. Now, there are the outliers that some people do react weirdly to carbs and some people react differently to fats. So there are exceptions in that, right? So I'm not saying everyone has to have a balanced diet, but carbs and fats aren't bad, right? They are fuel. But you got to think, if you don't use that fuel, it stores as fat, right? Because fat stored on your body is basically stored there for energy later on. But if you're always eating in excess, then you're just adding to your storage. And, you know, it's like, yo, bro, like winter is not going to be that rough.
You're always in excess.
Yeah. And that's why you are excess, you know? So it's one of those things where you got to realize you got to try to balance it out. Now let's go into
I just wanted to, I was trying to find a good timing to like at least like also slip that in there as well, because before you move on, because it is something that comes up quite often, is that when people, or when a lot of people, the general
public looks into it too much, they start to kind of overthink. But also, like, they'll ask questions like, oh, like, I read here, or somebody told me that I'm supposed to have only this amount of carbs or only this amount of fats, and I can't go beyond that, and this and that. When I just also do want to add that one important thing when it comes to, you know, the macros, and especially with finding the right range for the, you know, the carbs and fats distribution, is everybody's body is different. So kind of like what Devin said, like those variables that when, you know, like some people's bodies react differently to breaking down carbs and fats, it's because everybody's body is different. You know what I mean? So like, you have to find the right balance and what is appropriate for you. Don't try to like tie in what works best for someone else into your nutrition plan, because you guys don't have the same body, and that comes with like so many different like variables and things that we're not taking into consideration, how our body breaks down the carbs and the fats and pretty much all the macronutrients as in comparison to someone else's.
Right. And so, I mean, and going into that, so we'll start there first. You know, going into Austin's original question, you know, basically he asked, what's the best way to start learning on how to do this? And what's the best way for you personally, basically to find out for yourself, right? So again, if you can do a body composition scan, again, I stress it just because it is more in depth than just a scale. Now, if you can't, you can always just get your weight on a regular scale and do one of those handheld body fat tests. You can buy one on Amazon for like 20, 30 bucks. A lot of scales nowadays have, you know, their body fat readings. The accuracy isn't going to be as accurate as a body composition scanner, but again, it'll at least give you a fair range. Now, with that being said, you should try to start off with a balanced diet, right? We'll go into, you know, how you find that out in a second, but you want to try to start off with basically, you find your protein, how much protein you should have, right? So if you're able to do the body fat test or a body composition scan, then you're going to find out what are your protein requirements between that 0.8 to 1.2 grams of protein per lean pound of body muscle mass or body mass. But once you find out that protein, now realize, okay, that's how many grams of protein you had. Now, like we said before, it's 1 gram equals 4 calories, right? So if 1 gram of protein equals 4 calories and you're eating 100 grams of protein in a day, well, that's 400 calories of your caloric intake, right? So let's say you're on a 1200 calorie diet. Okay, so now you're down to 800 calories left, right? So now from your 800 calories, you can divide it up into carbs and fats, try to keep it as even as possible. But it's one of those things where carbs, again, aren't as calorically dense as fat, you know, because the 4 to 9, you know, calorie per gram ratio. But it's one of those things where, again, the foods that you would normally eat, that's where I would say, what would you normally eat and try to fit that in around your protein, right? If you normally like, you know, to eat fruit, so okay, add a couple pieces of fruit first. And then you can add some, you know, like almonds, you can add some, you know, avocados, you can add some other stuff for fats that can fill in the rest of the calories, right? So the first thing is find your protein and then find out how many calories you have left. And then again, from there, you can basically divide that into your carbs and fats. And it sounds very tedious, right, when I say it like this, but that's what these macro tracking apps like MyFitnessPal at Strive 11, we have the Strive 11 meal plan app. And so with that being said, as you're inputting your food, you can start to see how many calories you have left. You don't have to sit there and actually do the math manually. It'll actually do it for you. And that's where the biggest hurdle is. People try to do this pen and paper. And it's like, dude, why? Like, what? It's, you know, we're in 2024, right? So what else would you add to, you know, someone tailoring their macro goals, you know, to their individual needs and preferences, you know, beyond that? Right.
So going off of like what you had said, to start off with the scale part, you know, obviously like Devin said, like you need to track the progress of where your relative starting point, so you can see the progress that you're making. But when it comes to, if you guys don't have access to the, you know, kind of like an in-body scanner, as well, whatever weighing scale or machine, The other thing is, do try to keep it consistent when you do check it, because then when you start using different, you know, you'll use a different scale one time and then go to a GNC or you come to Strive and do an in-body scan, and then you'll check it, use a different weighing scale the next time, your readings are not going to be off because they're not all the same and they're definitely not calibrated the same. So just keeping track of like your progress and keeping track of your progress accurately and consistently is going to be very helpful to you guys knowing if you are in the right direction. And then on top of like, you know, kind of not going pen to paper, with the helpful apps and stuff like that, I think you hit it right on the nail into kind of fixating on things that are not super important, when at least I'm speaking off of like experience of having these conversations, you know, with like firsthand with what at least our members here at Strive like kind of run into, is the mindset of let me get the first step down, which is let me log my food every day, because I feel like, you know, we jump the gun naturally, so it is okay. It's okay, but understanding that you having a like kind of like a daily diary, it does sound tedious, but this is once you get the hang of it and once you build that routine, it will become easier and it'll become more natural. But actually taking note of your food and what you're having on a daily basis consistently day in, day out is a major big first step. So not only do you know what foods you're having and what your daily breakdown looks like, it's from there you can see like what adjustments you need to make from that point. But again, like I think that's my like takeaway like with that, is like getting the most important foundational steps first. Is once you do have, once you collect the proper information that you have, is okay, what is my first baby step? Let me not try to run before I can freaking crawl.
Right. No, and I agree. And one of the things that you mentioned too, with, you know, weighing yourself on this scale and that scale, I think that is one of like the most common challenges, is it's discouraging when you weigh yourself and you get a bad reading, right? And so one way to eliminate, you got to think, you're changing up your calories, you're changing up your food, so you're playing with basically X in the equation. And so you don't want to start playing with Y in the equation, because now you have two variables that are going to give you a different answer, right? So you want to try to keep everything else as, you know, steady as possible, right? Make sure you're drinking the same amount of water every day, make sure you're getting enough sleep, you know, but then you're when you weigh, it's like you don't need to weigh every single day, right? That, because there's going to be ups and downs. And that's the biggest thing, is like people start getting fixated on weighing themselves, and there's going to be fluctuations, right? And that's okay, as long as the fluctuations are tending to go down over time versus just fluctuating in the same spot. You want to try to keep your days that you're weighing, I would say if you're doing it once a week or every other week, on the same day of the week, do it at the same time of the day. The best reading you're going to get is basically in the morning after you go to the restroom, because now you're basically, you have everything, all the fluids that you stored from the day before, you know, any shit you have in yourself, you get it out literally and figuratively. But that's the biggest thing, is you want to try to keep that Y basically in the variable constant, so that when you're changing your macros, you know what the result of you changing certain macros, right? Because if you start off with a balanced diet, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you, right? So before you start adjusting calories like crazy, I would say keep your protein the same and then reduce the fats and increase the carbs to still meet your caloric goal, and then see, okay, is that working better for me? Do I feel better? Because that's the other thing, is that when you start dieting, you're not going to feel the best, right? Yes. So do I feel better? And then, or do I feel worse? Do I feel more bloated? And then if that doesn't feel good, flip it and bring your fats up and your carbs down. And maybe your body responds better to, you know, fat, right? Instead of having those carbohydrates. So feel that out first. And if you felt better with the balanced one, now you, at least you know your preference of what your meals are going to kind of look like, or what your day is going to look like, right? You know, so do you have, before I go into like the next topic, what I was going to talk about, like, do you have any like feed on that?
Yeah, so just the one other thing that I wanted to also say kind of was, you know, with what you said, that filling in the rest of, once you get your protein down, filling in the rest of your, you know, allotted calories for the day, if you want to play around with, you know, trying to keep them even, your carbs and fats, is what I guess like what we're kind of talking about at the moment is more of like a if it fits your macros type of nutrition plan. So which works for a lot of people may not work for some people. So people need to follow something to the T. But just keep in mind that when we the food sources that you do choose for the remainder of your carbs and fats is for example, if you want like a piece of chocolate or if you want I got some random ones like some tacos or some a cheeseburger is like way off the line, but it's like, you know, that's like pretty much your whole day. But like keep in mind when you do tend to have more, you know, I guess like higher in carbs or fats or just something that's not as of a whole food, keep in mind that that's going to take a lot, take up a lot of your, you know, what's left of what you can have for your calories for that day. So that's why I think it was good that you had said, you know, try to choose from like, you know, cheeses, avocados, nuts, like more whole food, something that is actually going to, you know, kind of satiate you and like a car.
Good,
you know,
word.
It's
a good word.
Oh, thank you. it's like the car, you know, like it's like you're putting like, you know how much gas you need to put in, but what kind of gas are you putting of what's left, right? If you give yourself diesel, which is like the junk food, like, you know, kind of simple carbs.
Sorry, unless you're this guy.
Hey! This guy. But it's like if you put yourself, fill it up with the remainder of your calorie for the day with diesel, that you know, simple carbs and stuff like that and sugary stuff, it's like you're not going to get much left of like, you know, of that diesel to fill you up, and you're gonna be like, all right, I'm kind of hungry for the rest of the day, and then you tend to fuck up and it's a whole spiral effect. Rather than if you actually make good choices, you put clean that supreme gas, you know, for that amount, it's like you feel better, like you perform better, your body digests better, and your output is so much better.
No, definitely. And that's, I mean, that's huge too, right? It's what you're putting in. That's what you're going to feel, right? So when you're putting cleaner foods in and you're tracking your macros, like, yeah, it sucks to do in the beginning until it starts to become a habit and just starts to become natural. But you got to think, if you're putting, you know, 87 into a Ferrari or a Lambo, right? Like you're not going to get that sport performance. And you got to think like your body, I don't care who you are, like your body, you are a premium sports car, right? You know, that's how you have to view yourself. Even if you may not view yourself that way, like that's what you are. So you should only be putting like the premium in, right? Unless you're, again, like you're like me and put diesel in, you know, because you got to fuel that engine. but with that being said, I think Geraldine actually made a huge point too. Like we were talking about, you know, it's difficult to do this journey, right? Whether it's fitness, whether it's nutrition, and it can be discouraging doing the weigh-ins every day, like I was saying. And that's why I'd recommend at very maximum frequency, I would say do every week, you know, weigh in. If not, what I usually recommend is every 2 weeks, but do photos, right? And you don't need to post them on social media. If you're a little more shy, like that's all good, right? Even with our gym, like we don't blast all of our clients' pictures and stuff like that when we take them for them, because it's a personal journey, right? But the thing is, since you may not see that little fluctuation, you see yourself in the mirror every day, you're not going to see those little changes, right? So by taking a picture, take a picture from the front and from the side, right? You don't have to have someone else do it. Just take it in the bathroom mirror. Doesn't need to be all, you know, professional lighting and all that kind of stuff. Just do it for your own comparison. Then you can compare last week to, or this week to last week. And then you compare this week to, you know, 2 weeks ago, this week to, you know, and you keep basically comparing it to the start. And then you can start to see those micro changes, which are becoming macro changes, but you haven't noticed them because, again, you see yourself so frequently, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's huge that you do take pictures and you do use that as your motivation, especially on the days that you're kind of going through that rut, right?
Mm-hmm. But that week one and week 11 picture together is crazy, the difference that you can actually see.
Oh, 100%, right? And if you guys do have issues or have, you know, struggles with trying to find out what your macros are, you know, you can message Nick or I on Instagram, and, you know, we'd be more than happy to give you some guidance. You know, we might ask you some questions in terms of like to find out the numbers that we need to give you the answer. But again, feel free to reach out to us as well if you're struggling. Now, one of the other things that I think people get, you know, have a tough time with nutrition is there's so many of these nutritional fads out there, these nutritional diets, that you get overwhelmed with which one should I do. It's like, that's why I'm talking about just do a balanced diet first, right? If it fits your macros, start there. And then from there, you can, once you get a rhythm of that, then you can start to tailor. If you want to do a Mediterranean style, if you want to do, you know, high protein, if you want to, you know, whatever, like, you know, keto style, whatever the case is, then you try from there. Intermittent fasting doesn't work better. It's not a magic, you know, necessity or anything like that. It's literally, you're just cutting out calories, right? You stop eating here. You can only eat this window to this window. All of a sudden you cut out 1,000 calories. Yeah, you're going to lose weight, right? But if you're starting to learn, like for me, like my last meal sometimes is like 10 o'clock at night, right? I know it's some people will say, you know, don't eat after, you know, eight. It's like, no, that's shit. Like professional bodybuilders, professional bodybuilders wake up in the middle of the night to eat a meal and go right back to sleep because your body is still repairing while you sleep, right? It's going to be a little bit leaner. You don't need a bunch of carbs and fats during those meals because, again, you're not going to be using it for energy. But again, it just depends on how you structure your day. So I think one of the biggest goals or one of the biggest challenges people face is trying to figure out what to eat on the fly, right? And that goes into some of the other things that we've talked about, like, you know, preparation is key, right? So what I usually recommend people is plan tomorrow out. You don't need to plan the whole week out if you don't want to. Like, if you want to change it up every single day, that's fine, right? I wouldn't recommend that because that's a lot of groceries. But, you know, if that's your thing, by all means, go for it. That's a lot of cooking. But if you can at least plan tomorrow out, now you can spend, you know, 5, 10, 20 minutes, even 30 minutes, skip one of your Netflix shows and literally plan tomorrow out on, you know, start with your protein, then start adding in your carbs and your fats, and then wait till you hit your calorie goal. And now you're good, right? Now you know what you're gonna eat for tomorrow.
Or if you, just to add in real quick, you know, helpful, hopefully it's a helpful tip. If you guys have trouble, if you guys have, like, you know, kind of finding yourself like that's like a big hurdle for you guys is like the whole preparing your food. It's like once you get the you know what macros you're supposed to be having, and then, you know, you just have to execute from there. Why don't you guys look into like meal prep companies? Because there's a lot of meal prep companies, especially, you know, that in our challenge here at Strive, it's like some members already do that. It's like they know the macros and they know that ideally they're not, they just don't have it in their schedule, you know, because everybody, you know, we have our family, et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't mean you can't complete the task. That doesn't mean you can't have the appropriate macros that you're supposed to be having. But let me say, like, having a full understanding and knowing like what you're supposed to be having though, right? You got to just follow that blueprint. But once you order from a meal prep company, I'm pretty sure I do know some of them like do by bulk, and they actually taste pretty good, where you can order your proteins in bulk, your carbs in bulk, your vegetables in bulk and stuff like that. So all you have to do when you order it for the whole week is measure it out for the next day, measure it out for the next day. So if cooking is the issue, then find an alternative solution to it that you can still count out your macros, weigh out your portionings from what you just ordered in bulk from your proteins, carbs, and fats and stuff, and you have it ready for the next day, like Devin said, because if you're not prepared, you're going to fail.
Yeah, and I think Geraldine makes a good point too, like exactly what you're saying. If you at least like cook your proteins in for the week, like that's usually what takes the longest. But then you can, you know, put chicken into different things. You can put it into a salad. You can put it into, you know, a lettuce wrap. You can put it into, you know, a tortilla. You can put it into whatever the case is for you, right? Put it with rice. But if you cook, you know, a little bit of chicken, a little bit of, you know, fish, and then you just now can make your day up of what you have left that you've already cooked, it's a lot easier. But if you're like, damn, I got to cook fish, or I got to cook chicken, or I got to cook steak, then you're like, ah, man, this is just too much work, right? So it's at least like set one day aside. Cook a little bit of those things if you can't, you know, because meal prepping from meal prep companies can be not, you know, financially feasible for everyone, and that's okay. But then, okay, make your own bulk, right? Cook veggies, cook rice, cook, you know, cook all the basics, and then just mix and match and make your own little creations as you go, you know? But I think that's the biggest hurdle, I think, is people just underprepare. And that's because they try to do it on the day. It's like if you're trying to find out what to eat for lunch and you're at work, one, you're going to do whatever is convenient, right? So let's say even if you get Subway, Subway sandwich can be 1,000 calories, right? If you're on a 1,200 calorie diet, well, shit, there goes your day. You know, if you're hungry the rest of the day, like better start drinking some water. So, you know, that's probably the biggest hurdle I would say with that, right? And we'll touch into, you know, nutrition a little bit more. If you guys have more questions, I throw them in the comments. but I want to make sure that we do touch on the second part of this as well, which is basically, you know, that family support, whether it's, you know, your family, your roommates, you know, just your household, right? So basically the importance of your family support, your household support, and how can you rally basically the support from them with your fitness journey, right? So Nip, take the lead.
Got it. well, my main things for takeaways for, you know, kind of the importance of getting your family's support when it comes to your nutritional fitness goals is it's your environment, right? You know, I'm sure if you guys are like the parents or the people that prepare the food in your household, it's, I guess, it's hard when you're preparing your own food. You know, you're doing what you have to for yourself because you've set this goal for yourself. But then, you know, for your whole family, you're going to have to like cook them a separate food or even be around the like things that they want to have or things that, excuse me, or things that they just eat on the fly on a daily basis. And it's like, it's kind of like shooting yourself in the foot in the long term. So, I mean, I think it's vital to have like, you know, not only their support, but in just in every avenue, like getting your family on board and having the same, at least trying to get them on the same lifestyle or habits, at least to start it, you know, and kind of like making better food choices, you know, staying active, you know, and educating them and you and us leading by example as to why it's important, you know, and you can be very transparent with your family, you know. You don't necessarily, you can be on a specific, like, you know, for example, here, like a challenge, but you don't have to be. If you just want to say, if you've set yourself a goal and you're trying to attain something with a timeline, you communicate it with your family and you let them know what you're trying to do, how you're going to do it, and why it's important to you. Because if you let them know, you know, why it's important to you, I'm sure your family cares about you and they're going to, the support is going to be there, right? And then, of you achieving your goal, of you, let's put numbers, be specific. If you're trying to lose some weight, if you're trying to drop some body fat, if you even want to just fit into a certain like jeans, a certain dress, a certain whatever, if you're preparing for something like an outing, a vacation, if you communicate that transparently with your family, they're going to support you. But I think the next step, you know, the next step after that is getting them on board to join you is a big thing.
Yeah, and I mean, getting them to join you doesn't necessarily, I mean, remember, it's your fitness journey, right? That's the hard part is like, if your family isn't on board, and usually it starts with your spouse, right? And so if your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, right, isn't on board or isn't basically working out, it's typically a little harder because you're trying to eat healthy, they don't really care. And so that's the first step, right, is trying to get them on board. And now, you can do it in a way where, let's say if you're cooking dinner at night, right, you could have already planned out what dinner is going to be the day before, and you can still cook whatever for the family, make it, you know, somewhat healthier, and just make sure you accounted for those calories and then structure the rest of your day, you know, accordingly, right? So that's the easiest way. But communicating is key to letting your significant other basically in on what you're trying to do. Why are you trying to do it? Right? Because if you're just like, I'm just trying to lose weight. It's like, okay, they're like, all right, cool. Yeah, fucking lose weight, you know? But if you're like, look, like, I want to lose weight because I don't feel good, or I want to lose weight for, you know, we're going to this wedding or whatever the event is, like you were saying, you know, make sure you communicate with them, because then all of a sudden they're going to be like, well, shit, I don't want to be the, you know, the fat one in the pictures, right? You know, and usually that will give them a little push. But if as long as you're communicating in a way that you're not trying to push them into their fitness journey, right, and letting them know that it's easier for you to achieve your goals if they support you and they go on this journey with you, because at the end of the day, like, they're your right hand, right? You know, that's supposed to be your basically ride or die. So if you have a goal or aspiration, they should want to support you in those, right? Now, you can't just all of a sudden go from, you know, eating like crap to all of a sudden now you're eating zucchini bread, right? It's like, you know, make sure that you're tailoring in a way that it's pleasurable for everyone, right? But one of the things that I would say is, if you have kids, or even if you just have, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, again, husband, wife, whatever, it's one of those things where create an environment that's engaging for everyone, right? When you go grocery shopping, like, take your kids, you know, go with your significant other, right? And again, art, yes, you have a shopping list, but then when you're there, you can come up with, you'll pass through aisles and you can see other fun, you know, foods and stuff like that to make. And then you get like, you know, why don't we do a pizza night? Right. And now when I say pizza night, everyone's like, oh shit, you know, that's a cheat meal. It's like, no, why don't you do it with that cauliflower crust, you know, Nick's favorite, you know, and do a cauliflower crust and, you know, light marinara sauce. So all of a sudden you plan out all these things and you can still have the same experience. You still have the same food. If they don't want to have your, you know, cauliflower crust, they can have a regular crust. Right. But now it's this experience that you guys can do together. Right. If you guys go, you know, on family hikes or family, you know, jogs or, you know, go to the park or whatever, if you can make their environment more active, naturally they'll start to tend to follow your lead.
Yeah.
Right. But if they're just sitting back and they're not working out, it's like, okay, if they're not working out and you're not bringing an active environment to the scene, then it's like, how can you expect them to all of a sudden, you know, just jump on ship with you?
Mm-hmm. You got to lead by example.
Yeah.
With like baby steps. Cause I think that's a great takeaway, cause it's more so of creating the habit and the lifestyle slowly, like you said, implementing it slowly. And yes, obviously your significant other, your spouse and your kids are not going to have the same exact timeline goal as you do. I'm sure, you know, like at some point they will, and on their own, they're going to be inclined to do the same thing. But just, you know, kind of doubling down on what you said, it's, if once they see that we're doing it for ourselves, and most of the time when, like, especially with spouses, when they see their significant other start to get on that health kick, they'll kind of jump on board, like, wait, hold up, I can't get left behind. Hold up. Can't be the only hot one here.
Anything to you, like, it all comes from you leading by example, you eating clean, you doing the steps that you know you need to do. And as you're doing them, all of a sudden your significant other starts to see the change and see everything. And then they're going to, maybe they might tell you look good and that kind of stuff or encourage you. But in the back of their mind, they're like, damn, like if we walk out in public together, like I can't be, you know, looking like a C-class, you know, physique, or, you know, looking like, you know, all of a sudden you're the upscale one. Like it should be the other way around. Right. They don't want to be embarrassed when they walk out next to you because they don't look as fit as you. And then everyone, you know, they have that thought of everyone's judging them on why is she with him or why is he with her? Right. So if you start doing the things that you need to do to improve your journey, they'll tend to start to create their own journey to make sure that they're basically holding up their end of the relationship, you know, aesthetics spectrum, I guess.
I think to at least like what I want to really like capitalize on was when you said that, you know, bringing engaging the family in making the changes. Cause I mean, let's just be straight up. Like most of the time, like during these times, it's like we're trying to be on a time crunch, right? Or we're trying to get something, we're trying to attain the goal like fast, or at least like we're trying to get there quickly. But we also have to keep in mind that what we're trying to crunch time or what we're trying to get to so quickly and make the changes very abruptly, our family doesn't have the same exact goals as we do. They don't have the same time frame. Think about it like this. Like, you know, you want to make that light switch change, right? And you're set on it. That's given. But your kids or your family or your spouse or whoever's in the house, they're used to eating whatever they want. Now they're not thinking the same, they don't have the same mind frame or the same goals as you, you know what I mean? So it can't be in the light switch for them as well, saying, okay, I'm just gonna eat healthy right there with you. So I think when you said that, it's a big takeaway of baby steps. Start slow in building the habits for them as well. So it's introducing it, you know, why it's more beneficial to not have junk food every day. You know, like we can still have an engaging, you know, dinner and like activity as a family and stuff, but we can make better choices. And then, like you said, in time, they'll realize that, wait a second, I do feel better. Wait a second, I do look better as well. You know what I mean? I'm playing longer outside, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, it's like a positive chain effect.
Yeah. And I mean, if you have kids and stuff, I mean, Geraldine mentioned that, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be up to you to make the healthy choices, especially if you're the one cooking, right? So if you're the one cooking at the end of the day, like if you don't like the food, okay, you're going to bed hungry. Right. you just got to have that, like, you know, Hispanic mom like mentality. And if you don't like the food, it's too bad, right? But it's one of those things where I think what you said is really important. You make compromises, and over time, you know, it starts to blend, and then all of a sudden you make another compromise, and you basically edge them slowly towards where you want, right? And if you have kids, you know, when you're eating cleaner, you can basically tell them that this is going to make them run faster, jump higher, whatever, tackle harder, you know, throw the ball harder. And usually kids are motivated by those kind of things, right? Because they want to do better, right? Because they're driven and they're motivated by their peers and, you know, performing with their peers. But one important thing is, you know, finding compromises and negotiating those compromises. For example, you know, this weekend, let's go on a hike, right? And then after the hike, we can go to, you know, In-N-Out, right? Now, if you already know you're going to go to In-N-Out, plan that into your day and plan what you're going to have. Don't stray from it. Once you get to In-N-Out, don't all of a sudden be like, oh, shit, you know, this is a Nick, you know, meal right here. Two 4x4s, right? Which is crazy the first time I ever saw you order that. But plan out what you're going to have and then eat that, right? Because now you've already accounted for that. That's already in your macros.
Right? You're not eating anything else for the rest of the day, though.
No, but I mean, like, if you only have, like, if you get a, like, let's say, if, again, depending on the person, right? But if you lettuce wrap your burger, all of a sudden you took away those carbs, those fats, that the fat and stuff that's in the meat, it's not as bad, right? Because, again, you're going to be counterbalancing it. Instead of, you know, 4 patties, or for you, 8 patties, right? You know, you only do 4. Or instead of 4, you do 2, right? And so you figure out what is going to work for you, right? So that's why figuring out the macros ahead of time and then adjusting the rest of the day to match that is important. Because if you go on the hike, you just burnt the calories, you just created this environment for the family, and then all of a sudden you go there and now you just wasted it, right? And now you just strayed away from what the original goal really was, right? So if you plan it out ahead of time, you can still hit your macros, still stay on track, you're still good to go, right? But don't start picking and choosing when you want to do that. You got to stay, you know, tough on yourself and make sure that you're actually sticking towards your goals, right? And then from there, you know, you can start celebrating those little victories with your family, right? You can if they're starting to get into their own fitness journey, you know, you commend them for that. You know, when they start to see change, or when they lose, you know, X amount of pounds, or when they start to see definition in their muscles, like, make sure you guys are celebrating each other on those kind of things, because that kind of drives each other on that, right?
100%. And just to add to that too, with, you know, kind of like, not like, what happens afterwards is what I'm trying to get at, is once we are starting to implement those habits and that lifestyle, including the family into it, is the question starts with you. Because whatever program and whatever you're doing it for, you know, if it's something that's you're on that deficit or that crunch for only a period of time, the big question is what happens after, right? You don't want to just, like, a light switch back on, you turn it on and then you just turn it right back off and you go straight to what you were doing before. Because then what happens is, just like you brought your family into that slow positive progression, they're going to be like, what the fuck? Like, now we're just going straight back to pizza every night. Now it just kind of, it's a double negative, because then it's like, now they're thinking it's okay to do that hard crash and then do whatever you want again, hard crash and then do whatever you want again, which isn't the best. Not the best lifestyle or habit to create, not only for yourself, but for everybody in the house.
Right. And then, I mean, it's one of those things where even if you are getting some, like, resistance or that pressure from, like, the family, whether it's a significant other or your kids or whatever, they want to have a snack. It's like, just because they're having a snack doesn't necessarily mean you need to have that same snack or even have that snack with them. Right. Yeah. And when they start to see that you don't eat those things, naturally they stop pressuring you, because they already know, like, you just don't do that. That's not you, right? You know, if they want to go here and eat these things, like, they already know that you're going to order, you know, a sandwich, or you're going to order a salad or whatever the case is, while they splurge. And then all of a sudden they start to have more of a guilty conscience and start to follow suit over time. It won't be right away, but it'll be over time, because, again, as you're improving, and especially your kids, like, you're leading the example for them, right? You're building a legacy for them. And that legacy doesn't, again, what I talked about in a previous episode, it's not necessarily just financial, right? It's the messages and the lessons that you've taught them. And so they see, if you went from basically body A to body B at the stage you are, you know, now, and all of a sudden you're this athletic, you know, parent or even your spouse, all of a sudden they're like, damn, like you really can do it. Right. And it's one of those things where they know that they should be eating cleaner. Right. They don't think that it's just okay to always eat fast food because you've taught them directly and indirectly on what they should be doing. Right. So you're leaving that legacy with them. That legacy is basically their health, their wellness, their fitness, and they're able to basically translate that for their family in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just like, before you got into that legacy portion, I was thinking in my head, I was like, yeah, because like when the kid's having the snacks, which I just, G said that too. She's like, her kids will have snacks around her. That doesn't mean she's going to have them too. So,
that's why I said it.
Yeah. It's just like, have you seen those? Have you been to a grocery store and have you seen the kids that like kind of give their parent like the candy or whatever they want? And then once they get to the checkout, either their parent will put it back or not get it. And when they hit the door, the kid like screams crying because it's like, fuck, I didn't get it. So that just reminded me of it. And I was like, damn,
I mean, yeah, but I mean, that usually happens like at the younger ages. But then it's like, you know, once the kids learn that, you know, they can't have that or, you know, no is no, it tends to change. But also if you're basically always letting them have those kind of snacks and those junk food and stuff like that, and then you tell them no, all of a sudden you're going to get that resistance, right? And that's where finding that compromise can come into play, where it's like, hey, you can have this after we go do this. After we go do a little run, or after we go walk outside, or we're going to go play catch. After you play catch, then you can have your candy bar or whatever, right? So then you build that compromise and create a little reward system around it, and then it starts to become into they just want to play catch now, right? So I think that's huge. Before we like wrap up or anything, like, you know, do you want to talk? Oh, we actually didn't even really touch on fiber, like the importance of fiber. Do you want to touch up on that? You know, because I know you eat a ton of fiber and you go to the bathroom a ton.
Me? sure. I mean, well, kind of going back to what we had spoken about when it comes to like the macros, and I know that you had mentioned that fiber is one of the main components into what we should track with our daily intake. It's to put it simply, you don't get enough fiber, at least 25 grams of fiber a day, you won't be shitting. You're not going to be, you're going to be intaking food and all, you know, putting nutrients in your body, but you're not going to be like taking out and like expelling all the stuff that's not being utilized or that's not being broken down. So that's why fiber is very important. You're think of it like you're clogged up pretty much. You know what I mean? So yeah. Make sure that we get sufficient amount of, let me say this. Especially when you start to implement the correct amount of protein, or when you increase your protein from your current intake, your stomach is going to be like, what the fuck? And you're going to find that if you're not getting at least 25 grams of fiber, you're going to be constipated. Your poop's going to be fucking rock hard, and it's probably going to hurt. That's because there's no fiber to, like, bristles on a toothbrush to help push the stuff that needs to get out, like, through your intestine. Was that too graphic?
All right.
Analogy I can think of.
So, I mean, yes, I guess. But no, like, so yeah, the range, so 25 is like the ideal number, just because the range for fiber typically is between 20 to 30 grams. You can go more than that. I wouldn't recommend going much more than that. Again, it's basically, it's a carb, but it counts as a negative carb. But we'll go on to that on a different episode. But then there's two kinds of fiber. You know, you can get the fiber supplements, which is basically, you know, like a powder version. It basically goes in your system real quick. It's almost like Drano, essentially, right? And so it basically helps everything smooth everything out. It's basically that just nice little coating on your intestines. And then there's insoluble fibers, which is basically, it can't be broken down into water, and it's going to be more of like your dark greens, your foods, you know, that you eat that are fibrous. And that's going to act like what you're saying, you know, like almost like if you're drain gets clogged and you got to use a snake, you're going to snake out the rest of it.
So it's my analogy, the bristles on.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, but both are good. Right. If you're not eating enough fiber, then, you know, make sure that you're getting a fiber supplement to up your fiber a little bit. But again, you don't really know how much fiber you're eating unless you're tracking your macros, right? Because there's fiber in foods. So you may not even need a fiber supplement if you're already eating a bunch of like greens or chia seeds and other things that are fibrous, right? So first track your macros, know what your protein are, and then basically adjust the rest accordingly. But you make sure that you adjust it the day before so that you know what you're going to go into the next day and you're not trying to do stuff on the fly.
Right. And you know, lastly, like just real quick, like Devin said, if you guys do want a little bit more help and, you know, have any specific questions, if you need a little bit of guidance as well, when it comes to your macros and like pretty much any nutritional questions, feel free to message us, DM us, because I know we also didn't go too much into like the total daily expenditure and calculating your BMR, which leads into like your calories. Then you can see how much your macros would fall into, how much protein you get and all that stuff. So we'd be more than happy to help you guys break that down, do all your calculations. But you can also do those calculations online if you just Google like a BMR calculator and like, you know,
most of the nutrition apps have them. They're like when you set up your profile, like on a lot of them, like let's say you're not using ours, a lot of them, you know, do that already for you, right? We tend to do it for everyone, but you know, our app does it a little bit differently. But when you just have a macro tracking thing, like it asks you how active you are and stuff like that. So we'll definitely do another podcast on basically your basal metabolic rate, your basically total daily expenditure, all those kind of things, how that tailors into nutrition. So I think that is important. But for today, I just want to, you know, kind of just get that basic foundation of having you just track your macros, right?
Baby steps.
Exactly. But with that being said, stay tuned for after we end right now so you guys can listen to the little theme song if you guys missed it in the beginning. But like always, guys, we appreciate you. You know, we love you guys' support, and make sure you guys share this with a friend. I'll be posting the episode. It'll go live tomorrow on, you know, all the podcast platforms. So if you missed it or you missed a portion of it, you can check it out there. Or again, you can check out the live recording YouTube or Instagram or Facebook as well. But with that being said, guys, we love y'all, we appreciate y'all, and see you on the next one.
Later, guys.
Don't negative vibes, only positive thoughts, cause in the game of life, mindset calls the shots. Got my mind on the pause, I can't be distracted, I stay on my grind, no time to be slacking.